Yeah, welcome to a brand new Hot Spurs podcast. It is Monday, the 17th of March, 2014. I'm Steve, I'm in Essex, and we've got Colin from Northern Ireland. How are you doing, Cole?
Yes, doing okay, mate, doing okay. This will be an interesting podcast.
Do you feel better this week, or do you... I mean, we were down in the dumps last week.
Yeah.
Do you feel better this week?
I don't know about better. I think, to be honest with you, and obviously we'll get into it, I'm not surprised by what sort of happened by the result.
All right.
So I wasn't really sitting expecting us to beat Arsenal, to beat Benfica. You know, we'd sort of said that on the last show. So I don't think it's really affected me that much. I'm just sort of quite downbeat about the whole thing. And, you know, as I've said on a couple of posts there on the Facebook page, you know, sort of feel that the season's over now, and it's just really, really disappointing, mate.
All right then. Well, that'll be it then. Okay, well, look, you know, let's get into it. Start with Benfica then very quickly. 3-1, terrible. Go on, what do you think?
Absolutely terrible performance. I think we were all sort of hoping, you know, after the Chelsea game, we might have seen something there, but it was shocking. It really was. But to be fair, we were up against a very, very good team who I didn't realise had actually just lost out in goal difference and qualifying for the next round of the Champions League. So look, they were a good side, and on the night they proved that they were a lot, lot better than ourselves. And, you know, we've left ourselves an absolute mountain to climb. There's no way we're going to go out there and beat them 3-0.
You know, unless they do a Spurs.
But here, I can't see that happening. Like we'll get into the Arsenal game. We cannot score goals to save our lives.
No.
So there's no way we're going to score 3 goals out in Portugal. Just not going to happen. You know, so another dream is over. Another dream is over.
But I was thinking, you know, why didn't we go and buy some of Benfica's players? We buy Ajax's best players. Why don't we buy some of Benfica's best players? How come they've got a better team than us?
It seems to be that when we do maybe go and buy some of these best players, that then don't perform.
Yeah. I mean, I guarantee that if we played Ajax after taking two of their best players, Vertonghen and Eriksen, you know, we'll go and play them and they'll stuff us just because they're Ajax, you know?
Yeah. It's strange. It really is very, very strange the way it all just seems to happen. But, you know, as we said last week, you know, there's just something there at the club at the minute. Things just aren't going for us. And, you know, it could come down to, you know, just a bit of luck and things as well again. But, you know, for the Arsenal game, you know, we'll go straight into it here. You know, yes, the performance was an awful lot better. It really, really was. But, you know, one of my main things, you know, was a few team selections again. I'm more probably down to substitution, Steve, on the day. You know, it wasn't happening. We were 1-0 down after 72 seconds to Arsenal. And Arsenal were poor. They were definitely there for the taking. They sat back and we huffed. As I said on Twitter and Facebook, we huffed and we puffed, but we didn't go anywhere. We never looked like scoring. I think our first shot on target, possibly was the one that Chadley missed with the two defenders on the line. I think our first proper shot on target and Chesney's first save was added by our shot in about the 80th minute, which he literally just side-footed and Chesney just had to pick it up. That was our only real attempt on target in the full game at White Hart Lane. You know, but this isn't just this game. This has happened all season at White Hart Lane. And it's unbelievable. Benfica as well, with nothing, absolutely nothing. You know, we pass the ball sideways and backwards and, you know, we attempt to go forward, but there's nothing there. And in the first half against Arsenal, we get into some great positions with Townsend and even with Danny Rose. And it was back to being the days of there was only one person in the box, and it was Ali Bayor, who I thought had a great game, really put in 100%. But there was nobody else in there to help him. And it was just so, so poor. It was made to look better than what it was. But here, it comes down to results. And we needed that result, and we just didn't get it.
Yeah, disappointing. You know, they scored a wonder goal. You know, I always like to talk about Arsenal, don't have any qualms with it whatsoever. Going into the game, you know, I listened to all the other podcasts and what have you, and they were all saying, you know, winded up Spurs fans sort of saying, oh yeah, it's their cup final. We're not really that bothered about Spurs anymore. We haven't been for years and what have you. And like I've told you, you know, many, many times over the last few years that I, you know, apart from maybe West Ham earlier on in the season, and I think about 10 years ago or 15 years ago, we played Leeds and, you know, they just absolutely went berserk. Every single time I see Arsenal at White Hart Lane and they say they're not interested in Spurs, that I'm surprised there isn't a death. The way that they absolutely celebrate like they're a team from League Two, you know, who's just beaten us in the FA Cup third round, they go absolutely crazy. You know, they're absolutely mental. And, you know, if they accuse Spurs fans of celebrating too much, yeah, you're right, we do celebrate. And we have no qualms about it. You know, we absolutely celebrate when we score against Arsenal. Because, yes, we love scoring against Arsenal because they are our massive rivals. You know, that is who we want to beat every season, and we don't mind that, saying that, and that's why we celebrate like mad. You, however, you Arsenal fans who listen, and that's who I'm addressing at the moment, and I know some Arsenal fans do listen, you say, oh, we're not bothered about you, and then you go crazy when you score a goal. So that's one thing that, you know, typical hypocrisy. You know, it disappoints me. We haven't scored a goal against Arsenal this year, so we haven't been able to go ballistic around our living rooms or at White Hart Lane or whatever. So that's disappointing. Obviously, we lost 1-0 earlier in the season. We lost 2-0, but we gifted them a goal in the FA Cup, so 1-0. And we lost 1-0 at home, and we were the better side. However, forever in their shadow, they're miles better than us, we'll never beat them. That's all you ever hear. And, you know, you're talking small, small, small margins. You know, next season, please, we'll have Vertonghen and Kabul fit all season, and they can have Mertesacker and Koscielny, you know, in and out of the side throughout the season and see how we get on then, because those two have played every single game this season, bar, what, five or six, and the two of them are the best two central defenders in the league. Why? Because they play every blooming week. You know what I mean? It's amazing.
And to be fair to them, the two of them are fantastic. I thought, you know, Koscielny,
he
was up, and Adebayor was up for the game, but he was great. And like that block on the line was, the both of them actually dived, you know, to block it. But, you know, Chadley just needed, unfortunately, maybe just to take a wee touch there, and then just the two of them would have been lying on the ground and put it in the net. But, you know, you've got to give them that sort of credit. But, you know, I want to get into Steve, and I know you're going to go into Tim Sherwood. You've had a lot of tweets about him tonight. But, you know, the decisions on the day, one of the things I said before I heard the team was, I guarantee Bentaleb's in the side.
Mm.
Now, I see a lot of people slagging this young lad off. I don't get it. I don't know why they're slagging the young lad off. Yes, I think he's still in under certain games that he needs to be brought in and to learn his trade with. But I actually thought he had quite a good wee game. Just got a wee bit frustrated when there was a couple of times in the first half he got round the edge of the box and he had a chance maybe to have a shot, and he passed the ball.
Yeah.
But he could have just taken that first time and had a bit of an effort. So I think that's where the crowd and some supporters are getting frustrated. But the guy puts it in. But look, my biggest qualm was in the second half. You know, we're 1-0 down.
Well, let's just go back. I know he's talking about substitutions, but just go back to the starting lineup for a second. I put the starting lineup out on Twitter, and yeah, a few people said, yeah, absolutely, that's the team, why have you? Tim Sherwood does love to say, you know, I work with these guys every day. You know it's his 2 points from 8 games slogan, if you like. I think he's saying it all the time. You know, I work with these guys, I'm with these guys, I know what they're like, I know what's going on in their heads, blah, blah, blah. And he's picked Bentaleb over Paulinho. That's the way I look at it. And you just have to say, well, why has he done that? You know, the cynical Spurs fan, or the, you know, would, or just looking at it, would go, well, what an idiot, what's he done that for? But then if you think, well, you know, if you trust him a little bit, you think, well, he's probably not bothering. You know what I mean? And Bentaleb is bothering. And Bentaleb has given the ball away, you know, quite a few times, but my goodness, hasn't everybody? Yeah, you know, and you know that Sandro's going to run out of steam after 60 minutes, which he did. A mate of mine last night said, what did he bring Sandro off for? Well, Sandro was absolutely on his last legs, which he has been, you know, every time he's played this season. So he had to come off. Bentaleb, you know, we'll talk about subs in a minute, sorry. Eriksen on the left, Chadli in the middle. I actually thought Chadli had a decent game, funnily enough. I thought he wanted the ball. I thought he could have done a bit more. Obviously, if he'd have scored, he would have made himself an absolute hero. A bit more composure, flick it over maybe, I don't know. But he played all right, you know, probably his best game he's played for us. Still not good enough, in my opinion. But, you know, if he can get better, you know, fair play to him. You know, he's a big old lump. I'd love him to do it for us. Get a bit of confidence. He looks, his facial expression is just like a man who doesn't know what, you know, where he's come from. Do you know what I mean? He looks as if he's got no confidence whatsoever. So it'd be nice if he did. You know, Eriksen, he plays on the left. He drifts inside. You know, he's everybody's favourite. You know, I want to see him in the middle just to make up my own mind. You know, but you know, I'm going to upset a lot of people here by saying that I'm not sure about him, to be honest with you. Massive star at Ajax. I've seen him do some very, very good things for Tottenham, but I've also seen him give the ball away a hell of a lot. You know, like Lewis Holtby, when he was, you know, with us, gave the ball away a hell of a lot. You know, but does do great things as well. So I'm not, you know, I'd play him definitely. Great, I love Townsend. Good to see him back in the side, giving that bit of confidence. I just think that with Townsend, there's a couple of times when he could have had a shot as well. But, you know, he's had that sucked out of him by Spurs fans, possibly, saying that he shoots too much. What about, he had his chance in the second half, didn't he? Where he squared it to Chadli, and he actually was in the position that Thomas Rosicki was, who had the shot in that very same position. And you think, you know, put your foot through it, leather it, boy. You know, so there were certain things. I think the big one is Bentaleb and Chadli, because they're the two that you think, well, wow, wait there, you know, why has he done that? You know, you would have gone with Aaron Lennon and with Paulinho, you know, or Dembele if he's fit. But, you know, so there was a couple of little things there, you're going, oh goodness. But like I say, when we play, I don't know, Stoke or Norwich or whatever, and you read in the paper or you look on Sky, oh, they've got four players out, or they've got some rookie at left back, how comes they always come in and, you know, get a 1-1 with us or play terrific or something happens, you know? Chelsea, when they start sticking central defenders up into midfield, they're like, God, what's Mourinho done there? And they play great. You know, why can't Eriksen be brilliant just because he's on the left?
Yeah, and I think, you know, that was one of the things, you know, with the team selection. But, you know, I'm talking more once the game progressed into the second half, you know. Yes, we knew there was going to be no changes. And to be honest, actually, I wanted to bring this up as well about Sandro. I actually thought Sandro had a terrible game on Sunday. I thought he was shocking. And I listened to another podcast today, and they actually had a bit of a dig at Sandro, you know, about, you know, he wants to be this hard man, he's the joker, he's this, he's that. I watched him on Sunday, and I thought he was terrible. Now, whether that's down to fitness and lack of games with him,
yeah, but, it is. You know, it is down to those two things.
Yeah, I think it is down to those two things. But for me, what, you know, that 10-15 minute period, start of the second half, right, we're still a goal down. That was the time for the change. Now, for me, I can understand Sandro coming off because he was on a yellow card as well. But to me, Bentaleb had to come off, Lennon to come on the left and move Eriksen into the middle, which we're all crying out about Eriksen being in there. And this is where, and I agree with you, when Eriksen plays on the left, I watch him and go, what is this guy? What does he do? He doesn't do anything. But the couple of games that he's played in there, against Newcastle, against, trying to remember the other game,
Swansea,
you know, he was superb, and it was crap. And, You know, so that's what we sort of needed, you know, to happen from it. But, you know, the things didn't happen. And then the other thing was Soldado. You know, it was just absolutely, to me, it was just an absolute crime, you know, that we didn't get him on.
Yeah.
And, you know, to wait till the 82nd minute to bring Soldado on. I put a post on my own Facebook page to say, you know, what has he been watching? You know, he was the last guy to score a Premier League goal for us, and we all went, brilliant. He scored, you know, from open play at last, and he hasn't played again since. You know, so, I was going to say, I got so frustrated with it.
Yeah, all right. Well, look, I mean, I told you that I'm going to play devil's advocate all night tonight. I think I'm going to just say it from the other side. I say it on the podcast quite a lot that I'd like to see things from the other side, and then I end up just agreeing with you or saying what everybody else is saying. So I'm really going to try and say things from the other side. Soldado has been poor all season. There's been games where I've watched him and I think he doesn't want to be here. He scored his goal, but he wasn't terrific against Cardiff. You know, apart from the goal, he didn't really do much else. A few good flicks here and there. He came against Chelsea, didn't he? Didn't do anything.
No, he didn't even come on against Chelsea.
Didn't he?
No, because we were down to 10 men, so I think he brought on Saki Friars. So he did.
Who did he bring on? When did he bring on Soldado then? Was that against Norwich with half an hour to go?
Yeah, I was against Norwich away.
Right, okay. And he didn't do anything. So you're thinking, so just for devil's advocate, he's thinking, right, Sigurdsson's got a goal in him. Who else did Paulinho? You know, let's see what he can do. Come on. Brazilian World Cup star, see if he can, you know, do something. So that's why I'm not going to bring on Soldado yet. No, is that a valid point? No.
To me, no. To me, you know, you're chasing the game against your local rivals. You're a goal down. You need a goal. You've spent £26 million on, you know, a top striker. Like, you know, let's not get. Yes, he hasn't been great for us, but the guy is still a top goal scorer, and it needed him to come on. To me, to bring on our Siggy and Paulinho, you were replacing, you know, two non-scoring midfielders with another two non-scoring midfielders.
Well, no, because they're scoring midfielders.
What's that?
They're scoring midfielders. Paulinho scored in the last few games he's played.
Yeah, but, you know, but they're not prolific. You know, we needed someone in the box beside Abby Fayor. I know he hasn't been prolific for us, but it was crying out for the centre forward. If Jermaine Defoe still had been at the club, he would have brought Jermaine Defoe on.
Right, well, guaranteed. If he'd have brought Soldado on and we'd have still lost 1-0, people would have been crying out going, oh, look, he's just gone to 4-4-2, how simplistic. Oh, dim Tim.
Yes, exactly, and I know what you're saying.
He can't win.
No matter what the guy does, yes, he's not going to win at the minute, but to me they were obvious things, and the weight. Yeah, especially when he knows he's under a bit of pressure, probably from the crowd.
Right.
The crowd were singing Soldado's name from the just after 60 minutes.
Well, that's because, I mean, I was joining in with the singing, but in my head I was thinking, bring Aaron Lennon on. And my brother, who I went with, sort of when he said Sigurdsson, he went, Sigurdsson? What's he bringing him on for? And the bloke behind went, because he scores goals. So, like, you know, we're all sort of arguing with each other, not aggressively, but, you know, we're all trying to make these little points. You know, like you say, Cole, you know, Paulinho, he's not a prolific goal scorer, but he scored at Hull. He's got a goal in him. And, you know, he's a Brazilian, you know, playmaker, isn't he?
Yeah, I know. And, yeah.
You can tell, what I'm trying to say is, you know, he's not bringing on, Zeki Friars.
Yeah.
You know, and do it for that. He's bringing on two established World Cup players. You know, Sigurdsson's not going to the World Cup, but, you know, two players that can play a bit. And he's thinking maybe they might be able to do something. Okay, then the game goes on. And then, you know, I saw your point about bringing Soldado on with only 10 minutes to go. You know, you'd have brought him on a lot earlier, obviously. Who did he bring off for Soldado? Brought off... He didn't bring off Benteled, did he? Brought off Eriksen.
Yes, right? Eriksen.
Now, you tell me what Eriksen was doing in that game.
No, I agree. Eriksen was doing nothing.
Yeah, you know, everyone's going to listen to that comment and go, well, he should have been playing in the middle. Well, yeah, fine. But just because he's on the left doesn't mean that he doesn't have to do anything. You know, he can do things when he's on the left and drifting in. He can actually have a shot if he wants to, or you know, show Sherwood, you know, that he warrants the place in the middle, just beyond the striker. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, he shouldn't be, or he does. I don't think he does enough, personally. I think he can do more.
Yeah, I agree. And,
I didn't think he was doing much in that Arsenal game. And when he came off, I was like, yeah, I mean, you know, fair enough.
Yeah, I could see why it was fair enough as well. But again, you know, I think that's where people got frustrated. You know, why keep Bentaleb on then?
Because if he'd have brought him off, we would have had absolutely no protection for the back four.
Yeah, that's right. But we're 1-0 down, Steve.
Yeah, but we're 1-0 down with 10 minutes. Yeah, so we're 1-0 down with 10 minutes to go, and we've got on the pitch, right? We've got Townsend, Adebayor, Soldado, Sigurdsson, Paulinho. And you know, out of those five, you know, there's goals in those five, isn't there? And then you want to bring on, you know, and then you want to take Bentaleb off as well. So we've got four defenders and six attackers, if you like.
Yeah, but
Arsenal could have rubbed their hands together and gone, right, lovely jubbly, and gone out and scored another goal, and that's 2-0, and that's... Yeah. I'm just saying it from the other side here.
I know what you are, but it's like this. It's Arsenal at White Hart Lane. We're 10 minutes to go. I don't care by that stage if we lose 2 or 3-0. Go for it.
Well, I don't know. I think if he brings off Bentaleb and we lose 2 or 3-0, everyone's like, you know, we'd feel a lot worse than we do if we'd lost 2 or 3. The fact that we lost 1-0, you know, is terrible. But... you know, it's not like gut wrenches. You know, we're one goal away, rather than four or five, which it had been, or which it could have been. I'm just saying it from the other side, Cole. If you'd have said, you know, he was right to keep Bentaleb on, I would have argued against. I'm just saying the two sides of it.
Yeah, but look, I think you know what it comes down to, and it's been our problem for the last few seasons, is that we can't score goals.
Yeah.
I don't know what our goal difference finished on last season, but you know, this year, okay, we've conceded a lot of goals in these big games, but you know, we're back down. I looked at the league table again. You know, even Aston Villa, I think, are plus goal difference now. You know, Liverpool are miles ahead of us. Man United are even on plus 7 or plus 8. You know, we just have not been able to score goals now for 2 or 3 years.
I don't think we're having enough shots. I don't think we're taking enough risks. And I almost think that under AVB, although it was slow and it was boring, actually, I remember coming on the podcast every week and going, Christ, Cole, we've had 25 shots, they've had 4, and the game's ended 1-1. Well, now, if you look at the last 10 games, I don't think we've had more shots than the opposition in any of those games.
Yeah.
So we're not even creating the chances. And like I say, with someone... Townsend is a prime example of somebody who, early on in the season, was having shots. And every podcast, every Spurs fan I spoke to was saying, oh, he needs to stop having shots. He's thick, what's he doing that for? He should pass it more. And I was the one going, no, let him carry on having shots. Well, you know, this is what we're getting now. We're getting him in great positions. And because he's scared to have a shot, because he'll upset a lot of Spurs fans, he's passing it when he should shoot it. Whose fault is that?
Oh, yeah,
well, it's the manager, because, of course, Tim Sherwood in the dressing room, yeah, as all the Spurs fans heard him say, don't have any shots, whatever you do.
No, but I'm saying to you, you're saying under AVB we had 3 times the amount of shots than we do underneath Sherwood.
Yeah.
So, you know, obviously the style of play now underneath Sherwood, we're not getting as many shots in.
I think it's definitely the style of play. We don't,
because it is poor, no matter what anybody wants to say.
Yeah.
And I don't.
But what Sherwood? But what Sherwood's saying though? But this is what I'm saying. Yeah, go on.
You know, and a lot of people that listen know, I'm not a Sherwood lover.
No.
But I'm not that way inclined of going, it's everything's to do with him. But you know, I totally understand that.
But Carl, go on.
But he has to take blame, you know, for selections, the way he's reacting at the set. I love to see the passion. You know, people have slagged him off for throwing his jacket and for throwing the ball at Sanger and things. You know, I would probably do that there. You know, I love to see a bit of passion on the line, but he's got to try and, you know, wind it in a wee bit, but don't want turning the, like, Paolo Di Canio on the sideline for us. But, you know, I can't put my finger right on it why it is, but there's just something there, Steve. And as I said it last week about experience of these big games, he's in charge of a big, big club. And I just feel, and I still feel after this weekend, he's still not the right man to be there. But I personally started to get a feeling, I think he might still be there next year. I have a feeling that, you know, they're talking about, you know, they're already looking at who they're going to sign and who they're going to get rid of. So it's going to be interesting what happens.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you're going to hear this a lot from me tonight, and this is me playing devil's advocate. But how do these people know what he's saying in the dressing room? How do people know what his training methods are? How do people know what his tactics are? I mean, I listen to him after the game, and I agree with pretty much everything he says, but a perfectly knowledgeable Spurs fan on Twitter or I speak to will say, God, you hear what Sherwood said? What a load of rubbish. And I think, well, I agree with everything, apart from maybe one or two things. You agree with nothing, apart from one or two things. You know, how is that possible? Then you dig a little bit deeper, and then they go, oh, because he used to be a gooner, and you're like, oh, right, okay, well, hang on a minute.
That's a load of rubbish.
That discredits your opinion. Yeah. If you add that little bit on the end, you might as well say, oh, well, but just forget everything I've just said, because the fact is he used to support Arsenal. Which, by the way, did you see that video going around where he's been interviewed and he says, oh, I supported Arsenal as a kid. My dad's still a season ticket holder. And then it cuts to yesterday where he says, I support Tottenham or something.
I'm the biggest Spurs fan.
I'll be the first Spurs fan, right? Now, all the comments on that, right, were, oh, he's this, he's that, all the worst swear words you can think of, right? Why was it that I looked at it and thought, right, former Arsenal fan, now a massive Spurs fan. That's good, isn't it? That's what we want, isn't it? Why are we hating that? Surely if it was the other way round, like the Sol Campbell was a Spurs fan growing up and he went to Arsenal. So we hate Sol Campbell. Do we just hate anyone that's ever had any association ever with Arsenal?
Well, Jermaine Defoe was an Arsenal fan.
Right.
You know, and we don't hate him. So, I think what it comes down to is, with the way social media is now, you get a lot of people just jumping on the bandwagon. So, the majority across Twitter and Facebook don't want Tim Sherwood to be there. So, everybody else that doesn't really know what they're talking about or what they're saying, and I'm not saying that we know what we're talking about either, but people jump on a bandwagon. And unfortunately, it was like AVB. You know, when it came to that stage, everybody jumped on the AVB out thing. The same with Redknapp. Once Redknapp wanted the England job, sure, Twitter and social media went crazy to get rid of Redknapp. You know, the Enoch out and Daniel Levy out thing is going massive at the minute. Everybody's going to jump on it. So no matter what anybody or what happens, people are going to go with the majority of what they're hearing out there. And that's just the way things are. It's just the way it is these days in football, you know, which is a pity. Hopefully, I always try and look at it from my own opinion without listening to what other people say. And I just, I was over at the Palace game and I watched Sherwood and some of his decisions, some of his tactics, substitutions. I just don't get. And I do worry about his lack of experience being a manager of a big team. I think he would have been better going to Blackburn, learning his trade for a few years, maybe then bringing them into the Premier League and then possibly becoming a Spurs manager, you know, 4 or 5 years down the line. I think that's where the line that he should have took. But here, who are we to say, if I was sitting there in the backroom staff and I was offered the Spurs job, you're not going to say no.
Well, that's a brilliant point. Know? That's a brilliant point. And that's the way I look at things as well. He's there. Harry Redknapp brought him in, who by the way, is best manager that I've seen at Spurs for years and years.
Brilliant
while he was there. Because I remember when he got him in, he said, oh, he's a great football man, and he's very knowledgeable about football and stuff. And I was like, oh, really? Okay, fine. Apparently he was doing wonders with the youngsters. And then we've got this thing about him being a backstabber and him being, you know, like the worst swear word you can think of, and him being poison and these sorts of things that people are saying. Which, you know, I am, again, my first question is, well, how do you know all this? It's as if someone's heard an interview or some piece of press by Roy Hodgson, and they've already and they're listening to it and going, ah, right, okay, well, he's called him poison, so therefore he must be poison, or he must be so disruptive. And it's like all of a sudden, Roy Hodgson is the most trusted man you can ever imagine. I mean, I seem to think of Roy Hodgson as an all-right England manager. I don't know how we do it. I'm not excited about the summer at all. He's a very, very average England manager. And I seem to remember him being rubbish at Blackburn. People are going to say, well, that's because of Tim Sherwood. Really? Well, what was Tim Sherwood doing? I mean, in my work life, right, there's been a few little snakes. There's been a few people who go around and say things. They're out the door. I mean, they go up to the boss and say, yeah, listen, boss, oh, the old cockachompy down the road, you know, he's fiddling the books, or they don't like him. The boss turns around and goes, thanks for your opinion. You know, collect your P45 on Monday. You know, I'll make my own mind up, thanks very much. So this whole going up to Levy and saying, oh, you know, AVB, you know, they don't like him, you know. And Levy's, like, walked off and gone, oh, maybe Tim Sherwood's right. I'll listen to him then. I won't have my own opinion. For goodness sake, you know, whatever, you know, what he would have done, if he'd have done that, surely would be turned around and gone, yeah, thanks, Tim. I'll make my own mind up, you know. Go back to work, please, working with the youngsters, and I'll watch on Saturday and see if we play well, and we go from there. I mean, I just don't understand all that, and how they know this. Look, just to cover myself here, I haven't read everything, so I don't know all the stories, but here's they're just a couple that I've heard of. You know, so people will say, oh, you haven't heard the one about that fella who said that about Tim Sherwood as well. Well, sorry if I haven't. But, you know, I just think, I hear these stories and I don't immediately go, ah, Roy Hodgson said that, therefore he must be poison. I think, well, wait there, what's Roy Hodgson's opinion? Why am I listening to that all of a sudden?
Well, yeah, look, I know what you're saying, you know, about it, but it's, look, none of us know, Steve, you know, what's going on. But as I said earlier on, people are jumping to me on bandwagons, on hearsay. None of us know, you don't know, I don't know.
No, and that's important. It's important as well. I don't know, but I'm not going, oh yeah, he's a backstabber. I don't know if he is or not. Yeah.
Like, none of us know. Like, you know, David Moyes is getting slagged off. None of us knows what's going on there.
You know, if you're given the opportunity to manage Tottenham, I think I might be a little bit crafty to get the job.
Yeah, of course you are.
It's Spurs' job.
Yeah, and the guy's been there for a long time, and obviously that's what his ambition was to be. The opportunity came up, he seen AVB was going, he was getting a chance to step in. Why wouldn't he, and why shouldn't he? But I think, you know, I honestly believe a lot of the hype and things about him. He had a great start, so he did, you know, to his management career with Spurs. But as I said earlier, I just think it was just a too big a step for him at the minute. But I do blame Daniel Levy for that. But I do honestly believe that Levy did try and get a couple of other guys or one other guy before this happened, and it, it just wasn't the right time for him. But look, we could talk about this till, you know, we're blue in the face about him, but we'll never know. Did you get some questions or things on Twitter tonight?
Yeah, quite a few. Lily Whitemore is the one that kicked it all off. And in the last comment, he's just put, please, please, please don't say he stepped in to help Spurs out of a hole they found themselves in. He wanted the job. I've already said to this guy, I'm not going to say anything that I think other people have said already, I'm trying to say different things, and I certainly wouldn't say that. I don't think that we owe Sherwood anything. I'm not saying that we should give him a chance or anything like that. I've got nothing for Sherwood. I've got nothing against Sherwood as a person. All I am is a Spurs fan. I just look at it and go, well, I don't know. And people say, oh, his tactics are wrong, or this is wrong, or that's wrong. I don't know what he's saying. Now, the other guy, Dan, I think his name is, has said, you know, you've got to, how are you going to judge him then if not on performance? Well, yeah, all right, I'll judge him on performance. But I tell you what, we've made exceptions for Tim Sherwood in terms of these performances. We are literally giving him, what's it been, 5 months, right?
Yeah.
5 months. People didn't even give him 2 games, you know, and they were like, oh, no, we don't like him, we want him out. And that was after we'd won him. You know, so as we say on this, we give a player, we give a manager, we give whoever it is, 6 months to a year, and then we make decisions after that. But with Tim Sherwood, everyone's jumped straight in with, oh no, we don't like him, we don't like this tactics, we don't like that. You know, give the guy time. Not because I like him or anything to do with him, just because he's the manager, and you've got to give these people time. And all the time we've got this Louis van Gaal chirping in the background. He's the Holland manager.
Yeah, that's it.
And people are saying there's 98% chance of him coming. I mean, please, please. You know, I'm not having some Arsenal fan come up to me in the summer, and I've said this a couple of times now, I'm going to say it again, saying, oh, 98%? Is that you that said that on your podcast? Yeah, he's just gone to Man United. Well done. I'll be like, oh, cheers. So,
sorry, what did that last guy say there, you know, about performance?
Judge him on performances.
Yeah, but that's what I'm doing.
Yeah,
I'm
absolutely fair. But I'm
not happy with the performances.
No, and nor am I. But, well, you've got to also give it time, because most performances haven't been very good at all. But, you know, with a bit more time, he's got to turn around this regime. He's got to turn them, I don't know about management, but, you know, look at David Moyes. He's come in to that job, and he's absolutely terrible, isn't he? Now, if he keeps that job, okay, and in a couple of years, where's he going to be with Man United if they invest a load of money? And with that 90 grand stadium, he'll turn it round, in my opinion, because they'll give him time or whatever. Man United don't struggle for that long. They've got too much money. They've got too many fans. Everybody else falls by the wayside. I don't know if that's right. Let me just tell you this one, right? Judging it on performances. I look at these things. I watched Sky News the other day, and they was comparing AVB and Sherwood. And the statistic was, and I only looked at the first statistic and made my blood boil, because it said games, AVB 24, games, Sherwood 17, and then a load of other statistics. And I was like, well, wait there, you're comparing 24 games with 17 games. You stop right there. That, how can you compare 24 games and 17 games? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? What's the point of comparing that? Compare 17 and 17, fine. Or why don't you flip it and go for their first 6 games, in which wasn't Tim Sherwood like the best ever manager we've ever had in terms of results, right? And now he's the worst ever manager. Well, let's see in, what is it, 7 more games to see how he is and compare him then, because we've got, you know, relatively easier games coming up. But look, you know, all I'm saying is... I'm trying to see things from the other side. You can't just listen to one part, and don't listen to me, for goodness sake. Have your own opinion, you know, and if you don't like the performance, fine. I don't like the performances either. But you can't just say Sherwood out, because we haven't got another manager. So what are you going to do? You've got to do something that will help. and Levy out signs on Arsenal Day? Please, can they not have waited a week and did it on the Southampton game next week? You know, what are the Arsenal fans thinking looking at that? That's embarrassing. Well, and in fair play if you want Levy out and you want to hold signs up, but not on the Arsenal Derby Day.
Yeah, no, I agree with that there. But, you know, like, I'm just sort of thinking there while you were talking, you know, isn't it, if we were able to go back to when we started this podcast, you know, a few years ago, you know, these conversations never happened. Do you know about Matt? And it's unbelievable how far we've actually jumped back now as a club. And I don't know, is that Daniel Levy's fault or is it management fault? You know, but I just think it's sad, Steve. You know, we're Tottenham Hotspur Football Club. To me, we're the biggest club in the world. To all us Spurs fans, that's what we are. But, you know, in the end, the cold light of day, we are a massive club. We are a massive, massive club. And I just think it's sad that we're sitting here arguing between each other, you know, all these Spurs fans. Like, yeah. I've never seen as much rubbish on Twitter and things in my life. You know, it's just going absolutely crazy. And I think we all just need to take like a bit of a step back now.
Right.
To me, Steve, the season's over now. You know, I said it a few weeks ago, anyhow, we've got no chance of top four. Look, it's not going to happen. Liverpool, I thought, were brilliant against Man United. They'll turn us over here in a couple of weeks as well. To me, the season's over. I think it's now about trying to bed in. If Sherwood is going to be there and he thinks Soldado's going to be there next year and Chadley and these guys need to play. Let's see these guys, fingers crossed, Lamella. Try and get Lamella back in here, playing for the last seven games. Let's get him bed in and let's see who's going to be here. If Boyce, and we've always said it, if you don't want to be there, off you go. Go and find another club. So things have got to change.
One final thing from me. Just going to go through the league here. And this is what, just to show that, you know, we're an island, aren't we, Spurs fans? You know, we're all, everyone else is brilliant and we're a load of rubbish. But let's see. Right, so Chelsea, okay, earlier on in the season, playing awful, moaning and complaining. Okay, but they like their chairman, obviously. Throws a load of money in it. Liverpool, you know, we've had years of moaning about their chairman and their managers. And, you know, Rodgers last year, they finished seventh last year. You know, if we finish seventh this year, we'll sack our manager. They stuck with theirs. And you talk about getting rid of Bale and Suarez. You know, we're going to sack our manager, probably whatever, even if he does finish fifth. And he finishes above Everton and Man United, you know, rightly or wrongly. Arsenal, Wenger in, Wenger out. They hate their chairman and the directors at that football club. Man City, constantly sacking managers. Everton, you know, the guys were on that other podcast talking about Everton, can't stand Martinez, couldn't stand David Moyes, always complaining about not spending money. Man United, you know, the only reason that FC United exists is because of the Glaziers. And they won about five trophies, you know, five titles after they got in. You know, and obviously they're moaning and complaining constantly about their side at the moment. You've got Southampton, who had all their chairman, that Rupert guy. And that's all, you know, they sacked their manager, didn't they, after he was doing so well. And got an Argentinian who doesn't speak English, who's actually pretty good now. Newcastle. Look at the turmoil they go through. Aston Villa. Imagine being a Villa fan at the moment. You know, with the ups and downs that they go through. Stoke. Brilliant manager in Tony Pulis, kicking everybody up in the air. Hated playing against Stoke. Mid-table, really good. Well, they're still mid-table, but they're up and down. West Ham, obviously, you know, what can you say? They beat Spurs, and then they can't, you know, do anything else. Hull, with what they're going through, with the name change and everything. Swansea, they have Michael Laudrup, one of the greatest players of all time, as their manager, doing really, really well, and they go and sack him. Norwich, Chris Hughton, when we got rid of ABB, people were saying Chris Hughton should be the Spurs manager, and he's on the verge of going out. West Brom got rid of their manager. You know, let's finish off. Crystal Palace, they're, you know, with their chairman, Simon Jordan, and the new guy and everything. Constantly changing managers. Ian Holloway. Then you've got Sunderland, Di Canio, then the other one, then that one, then that one, and they can't stand their chairman. Cardiff, well, goes without saying, their chairman, they can't stand him. And then you've got Fulham, this changed their chairman, and they're constantly changing their managers. So, Spurs fans, we're, you know, every other club goes through, and that's only the Premier League, you know, every other club goes through all these ups and downs with chairman, and, you know, none of them like their chairman, none of them like their manager from week to week. So, you know, I'd like to see us, you know, just get behind the side a little bit more. I appreciate we're not going to sing Tim Sherwood's name. And in fairness, there's not been too much booing going on at the stadium. You know, but look, you know, all this, you know, I just think you discredit yourself if you go straight for a massive swear word about him, and, you know, talking about things you don't really know about, you know, in the backstabbing stuff and all that sort of stuff. And like I say, at the end of the day, if he backstabbed his way and said this and said that to get the Spurs job, well, I don't know what I'd do to get the Spurs job, but, you know, might not be that dissimilar, I don't know.
No, you mean, that was actually really good, just when you listen to every team in the league. Probably if we were able to get the rest of the team podcasts and we got one from each show and we done one show, everybody would moan. Because I'm sure the Chelsea one is moaning like mad about losing to Aston Villa.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, it's crazy. I'm sure that a lot of Arsenal fans deep down weren't happy with that performance against us. I think a lot of them expected to come and steamroller us on Sunday, you know, and, you know, with these things. But look, I just think, you know, it's going to be an interesting end of season. I would like to see, you know, the pressure's off now in my eyes. You know, I just want to try and see a bit of improvement and just try and enjoy some of these games coming up. But I would love to see Lamella. I know I've went on about him before. I really want to see this guy back in. I want to see maybe what he can do, see what he's about. But it's going to be an interesting end of season, and again, another interesting summer. What is going to happen to Tottenham Hotspur? You know, it's going to be mad.
Okay, finally, Southampton on Sunday. Prediction?
Get beat.
Okay.
2-1.
I'm going to go for a 2-2.
I just think Southampton will...
Good side.
You know, Lallana, Rodriguez, Lambert's in form. Just the way we're performing, just more so, Steve, because it's a White Hart Lane. I just can't see us getting more than maybe a goal. I think they'll catch us on the counter.
He'll play full strength in Benfica. They'll all come back tired, demoralised.
Yeah.
God. All right, mate.
That's great.
Come on. The season is not over. You know, we're going to be sitting there on the beach in the summer with these Man United fans. And we'll be able to say, we finished above you. That's not bad.
Deep down, I want that to happen.
That's not bad.
But really, Steve, do we want to be in the Europa League next year?
No.
Now, I know if you win it, you get a Champions League spot. But to win it, you've got to play like another league, another season to win that trophy. So stuff it.
Play the B team.
Let's finish 7th or 8th.
That B team's good enough to go to the Ukraine and all these different countries anyway.
But look, if we do get in the Europa League next year, that's what I want to happen.
Exactly.
I want a complete B team. I do not want to see one. And I'm talking, if he classes that he's got 18 top players, I don't want one of those 18 top players to play in the Europa League.
No. And just say, we're not going to change. We're going to still play on Saturdays.
Yeah,
because when you're playing Sundays, you're always playing catch-up.
Yeah.
And that's not the way to do it.
Play the kids. Let's go for the League Cup and the FA Cup and try to get in the top four.
Come on, you Spurs.
Definitely. League Cup next year. Champions.
Keep your peckers up. Yeah!